Get Real. Cashflow King with you today. And in today's Get Your Money Right segment, we have estate planning preparation. Everyone's favorite fucking topic, right? Thanks so much for tuning into the show. As always, we really appreciate it. We have another full-length, very long episode coming out the same day as this one on Monday, April Fool's Day, April 1st. So this one is going to be very, very short. Before we get into today's episode, I just want to make somewhat of a quick announcement that this will likely be the very last Get Your Money Right segment at this time. I wasn't sure how long we were going to continue with the Get Your Money Right segments, but the more I think about it, I want this to be something that has some sort of a relatively short timeline. In other words, if somebody misses it, I want people to be able to go back and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go through the Get Your Money Right segment, and it doesn't go on for three fucking years, right? We want something that covers the basics, that's applicable to the vast majority of people, that you can use kind of as a quick start guide on things you need to be doing or thinking about, and that be that. This, in no way, shape, or form, the Get Your Money Right series is not completely exhaustive. It's not all inclusive. There's certainly things that we didn't cover that you may want to be thinking about and doing in your personal financial journey. But I'm pretty confident that if you go through the quarter, if you will, we did this for January, February, March, and we're having this one last episode drop on April 1st. So it's effectively one quarter's worth of Get Your Money Right segments. If you have done everything in those segments, I think that most people will be well on their way and they can continue to make steps along their financial journey, but it's enough of a quick start guide to get you a good jump on what you need to be doing. So just as a quick recap, we started off with high yield savings, right? And talked about high yield savings accounts, setting up automated transfers. We then kind of transitioned into spending and tracking expenses. We talked about the vertex42.com website and the spreadsheet that I thought was pretty helpful from there. We went ahead and got into debt and wrote out different debts that we have. We then prioritized those debts and talked about different methods to pay those off. We talked about investing in your workplace retirement plan, things like getting the full match, auto escalation features, and so on. We talked about the importance of having a Roth IRA and setting up monthly transfers into that Roth IRA. We talked about the importance of being organized and doing, you know, having a folder for tax documentation, especially this time of year as we're full on into tax season at this point. And then we went into some more planning and protection based areas, things like beneficiaries. We talked about life insurance. We talked about disability insurance. We even talked a little bit about Social Security and how to get your statement, right? We did a whole bunch of things. And I think that's going to be a good jumpstart for the vast majority of people. We're going to go ahead and get into today's episode and wrap up with some information on estate planning and talk a little bit about that in today's episode. And then we're going to wrap it there. I'm not sure yet if I'm going to do this or not. We're open to feedback, so feel free to email the show, realtalkpersonalfinance@gmail.com. But I'm thinking about doing another type of series. I don't know if it'll go for an entire quarter or not, but like a financial bloopers, like real shit that actually happens, whether it's with clients of mine or some of my friends that work in the industry that are financial advisors, things that we see clients do that's just kind of a facepalm. And it's not intended and wouldn't be intended to make fun of people as much as it would be to highlight, hey, we're all human and we all do stupid shit sometimes and make mistakes. But these are some things that we're seeing out there that we have seen out there. And, you know, here are some reasons why we don't necessarily agree with the action that this particular client took. So I'm thinking about doing that. If you guys think that would be interesting, all you have to do is just shoot the show a quick email, realtalkpersonalfinance@gmail.com. And in the subject line, you can put financial bloopers, yes or no, if you think that would be good. And we might take a little bit of time to see if anything rolls in terms of feedback. And then we might go ahead and start to put something like that together going forward. So without further ado, let's get into today's show where we're going to talk about estate planning preparation. Now, I will be the first to tell you, this is the very last thing that I did in terms of from a personal finance standpoint. I remember back in the day, I was studying for the CFP, the Certified Financial Planner designation, which I've had for many years now. And at the time, I was single, I was not married, no children, no dependents, nothing like that. And I thought, you know, I really don't need to do all that much in this area. And then as I was studying and going through the material and the coursework, I said, you know what, though? I can't hold myself out as a certified financial planner if I don't have everything, including the estate planning documents and module and whatever you want to call it, in order for myself. And right around that time, I had a family member that was going through some things in the estate planning world, we'll say, and I happened to go with them to an appointment and met their estate planning attorney. And this was all kind of happening right around the same time. And I really, really liked this particular attorney. And I said, you know, I need to get my stuff in order. Why don't you send me a checklist? What do I need to do? What do you need from me in order to make this happen? And the rest is history. So this is something, and I can tell you, like I said, from personal experience, that even I, working in the industry, did not want to do. But I could not hold myself out as a CFP until I had everything covered in my own personal financial space. I didn't feel comfortable with that. I can't encourage other clients to go get their estate planning documents in order and to do some estate planning with an estate planning attorney if I haven't done it myself, right? So in an effort to not feel imposter syndrome, right? You don't want to have imposter syndrome. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get my stuff in order. And I did. Now, with that said, I will also tell you, especially if you're a younger person listening to this show, perhaps you're in a similar situation that I was at the time, where maybe you're not married, maybe you don't have children, maybe you're single, and you're thinking, I don't fucking need to do this. Like, that's a waste of time. That's a waste of money. You might think that, and I could see why you might think that. But I will say that it is the most unselfish thing that you can do, is going to get these documents in order that we'll talk briefly about here today. I think, you know, the last thing that you're going to want, if you were to pass, right, and we all will someday, and your family and your loved ones and your heirs are going through that emotionally, the last thing you want is to leave them a clusterfuck financially, right? And even before you pass, there's reasons to have certain documents in order to be able to assist with the way you would want things to go. And so if I can just encourage everyone just to take the time to do this, and there's different ways to do it. There's some people that are going to want to try to go and do this online on like a LegalZoom type of thing, and I guess you could do that, but I would strongly advise against it. And again, we don't give any advice per se on the show, right? But I would suggest that everybody get together with a local, knowledgeable, and competent estate planning attorney in your area. You can feel free to shop around and interview them, ask them questions, see what they have. I know different firms, some of the larger firms might have packages. Maybe it's an estate planning type of law firm that they deal typically with bigger clients, but they have some paralegals and some other folks that might do a lot of the basic templated type of work. But even still, I do think it's important, because so much of the stuff varies state by state, that you're meeting with somebody that understands your local laws and regulations in your area, in your specific state. So that would be my suggestion there. You can ultimately do whatever you like. If you did decide to maybe do something online through a LegalZoom type of a setup, you would at least hopefully want to have that reviewed by a local attorney. It might cost you a little bit less. But again, in my professional and personal experience, I've always found that, you know, I'm a big fan of, and I guess my opinion's biased being a professional, but seeking professional services and paying for professional advice in different areas. And this is definitely one of those that you don't want to skimp on. So you don't want to get ripped off, but at the same time, you want to make sure that you're sitting down with somebody that you can, you know, at least me personally, I wanted to be able to sit across the table, look eye to eye with them, have them ask me some of the tough questions, and have a conversation about different contingencies, and just have them get an understanding of your overall situation before anything gets drafted. So that would be my suggestion for everybody. If you haven't done this, if you have already done a lot of these documents that we're going to cover briefly, you may want to just do a quick checkup, especially if there have been any changes, if anybody, you know, any new births, any marriages, any divorces, right? People that have passed away, you might want to update these every so often. You should at least be reviewing it every so often as well. So it's a good time to check in as far as that goes. I will say I did a quick Google search before today's episode, and I did find a couple of PDF documents. And if you Google them, you can find them yourself. If you want to email the show, I can send them to you, realtalkpersonalfinance@gmail.com. But there's two in particular, both of which are put out by Charles Schwab. I think a lot of people would be familiar with Schwab. They're a great company. No, I do not work for them. However, I thought they had some really great material on this. And one of them in particular that I'm going to steal some highlights from here on today's episode is a document that says why you need an estate plan now. Make things easier for the people you love. And I think that sums it up pretty succinctly. But they kind of follow that up with 8 different questions that you might want to ask yourself, and then they kind of do a deeper dive on each. So we're not going to cover these in excruciating detail. We're just going to hit the highlights. But this is one of the 2 documents that I thought was very useful, and I read through the entire thing before recording today's show. So the first of the 8, the question that they pose is, doesn't everything go to my spouse, right? And then they have a section on asset titling and beneficiaries. Second question or second point was, do I have the right beneficiaries on my accounts? They refer you to the same section. If I'm out of it, who will call the shots? And they got a picture of a guy playing basketball, right? And they talk about powers of attorney. Number 4, who will take care of the kids, right? Then they refer you to the section that they have on wills. Who gets what when I'm gone? Number 5, they refer you to the same section. Number 6, would a trust make sense for me, and who should be my trustee? And they have a section on trusts. Number 7, how can I preserve more money for my heirs? And there's a section on tax planning that they refer you to. And then finally, number 8, which leads into the second document we'll get into, is who knows where to find my records? And they have a section that refers you to what's called an asset inventory. And that's the second document. We might as well jump into that right now. The asset inventory document that they have, it's 8 pages. I think it's fantastic. And when I say it's 8 pages, some of them are just pictures, right? The first one is a couple jogging on a fucking beach, right? And it says asset inventory. Then it gets into the worksheet, what it is, what it does, why it's important. And then it actually gets into it for the subsequent pages where you can put your information, and it's going to have a spot for, you know, family and other beneficiaries, their contact information, dates of birth, relationship status. There's the asset inventory itself, things like bank accounts, brokerage accounts, CDs, securities, retirement accounts, any digital assets you might have, any employer-sponsored retirement plans at work, any health savings accounts, annuities, real estate, and so on. And it goes through this entire list of several different pages. And again, you probably do and should have the majority of this information anyway when we went back on the net worth Get Your Money Right segment, right? And we talked about balance sheets and net worth. Well, you can simply transfer a lot of that information onto here if you choose to. And I think it's a very useful document to have. You just want to make sure you keep it in a very, very safe place because it has a lot of sensitive information on it. But it's a great thing to have almost as a leave behind so that, you know, maybe you put it in a safe deposit box, for example, or something like that, somewhere that it's secured. And if something ever did happen to you, you know, those that are surviving and remaining will know where to go and how to find the information that they need in a time that would otherwise be, and probably is for other emotional reasons, very, very stressful for them. So as far as an estate plan goes, you might be thinking, and I'm taking this right from their document, what exactly is an estate plan, right? And again, I've read through all this, and rather than me try to reinvent the wheel, I'm just going to pull some of the good information that they have here. You know, it talks about an estate plan being a collection of documents that specify how you want your money and other assets distributed, making it easier for your loved ones to handle your affairs during a time of grief, right? And then it talks about, well, what else can it do, and who needs one, and do you already have one? And there's this section here on page 4 I really like. They break it down into 3 categories. There's essentials for everyone, essentials for most, and essentials for some. And they break it out, and then later on in the document, go through the different sections. So essentials for everyone, things that everybody should be thinking about doing, having, or having documents drafted, they list as asset titling and beneficiary designations. And I know we've talked about that on the show before. They're saying that applies to everyone. Then they go on to talk about a will, that everybody should have a will. Then they go on, and there's different types of power of attorney documents, POA, you might hear it referred to as. So that's something that everybody should have, according to this document. And then finally, advanced directive. Sometimes this is also called a living will, also a document that everyone should have. So at a minimum, even if, you know, again, single, not married, no kids, minimal assets, if anything, those are documents that you might want to strongly consider having and getting drafted and making sure that your accounts and the titling and beneficiaries on your accounts are where they need to be. The next section they talk about is essentials for most, and they only have one bullet point here, which is life insurance. Again, if you have no dependents and nobody that is relying on your income and no significant debts and you have a decent amount of assets, you could make an argument that maybe you don't need life insurance, but I feel like for most people in the vast majority of situations, at least for a period of time, they're probably going to have some sort of need for life insurance, so that falls into the essentials for most. And then finally, essentials for some, and that's where you get into trusts and estate tax planning. And there's a lot of changes that can happen and have happened over the years as far as the estate tax. Most people, fortunately, don't really have to, most average people, middle class, you know, everyday American people, don't have to worry about estate taxes. But if you're very wealthy or you have significant appreciation in certain assets or certain types of businesses that have done very well, you may want to get with your tax advisor and estate planning attorney to talk about how to best plan for estate tax planning. But that is something that can come up. And then the trust thing comes up quite a bit. There's different types of trusts out there. Most commonly, you're going to hear about the revocable living trust, and they talk about that a little bit in the documents. That is something that, believe it or not, you actually don't need to have a significant amount of assets necessarily to have that make sense for you. Again, it's going to be very situationally specific based on your own circumstances. So we here at Real Talk Personal Finance are not recommending that somebody get one. What we are suggesting is that you seek out your own estate planning attorney in your own local area and have a conversation with them about your specific situation to see if that might make sense for you. But a lot of people are under, in my opinion, the false assumption that if you hear the word trust, you immediately think of, oh, that's a rich person, or, oh, trust fund baby, they're getting fucking spoon fed or something like that. And I can tell you that that's not the case, right? But those are some things to be thinking about and considering. Again, not everyone's going to need everything, but you're probably going to want to take the time to really think about what it is that you might need. And if you're not sure, again, I think these documents are an excellent way to go through, and they have their different sections that have more information on each little piece there. And it talks about different types of powers of attorney, from financial to medical, life insurance, the different reasons that people might need life insurance. It's going to talk about wills and why you should create one. Trusts, how trusts work, how you choose a trustee, the different types of trustees that can exist, the reasons why you may even want to set up a trust in the first place, right? And so it's just a really good document, in my opinion, to have. And so, again, if you just Google Schwab why you need an estate plan or Schwab asset inventory, it should come up and you should be able to download them. They're both PDF files. If for some reason you can't find them and you want them, again, just email the show. I've already saved them and happy to send them your way if it's something that you think could be useful for you. That's pretty much it. Just a quick show to round out the Get Your Money Right segment to encourage you to get those documents drafted. And then this is another big one. Very important. After you do that, please take the time to put certain documents on file. So, for example, if you have powers of attorney for like medical power of attorney, POA, put those on file with your doctor's offices. And in some cases, it's as simple as if they have some sort of a portal that you can log into, just having a scanned copy as a PDF file on your computer and uploading it to the portal so that they have it. Or if you have them in hard copy form, or you don't have a portal and you don't want to fuck with it, bring it with you next time you check in for your appointment. And they might ask you, hey, do you have any advanced directives? Do you have a living will? Do you have any, you know, medical durable powers of attorney? Anything that you want to have on file? And hopefully by the time that happens, you can answer, actually, yes, I do. Would you mind to scan these into my file and let them go ahead and put them on your file for you? So just because you have these things, they're great to have. Step one is getting a sense of what you might need. Step two is having those appointments and getting it done. But then step three is once you actually have the documents, you need to make sure that they're on file in the event that they are needed. There's a place for them to go to retrieve those. So it's only as good as, you know, putting them on notice, so to speak, right? So if you have advanced directives and you have a living will that says, you know, these are the things I want to happen in an event of incapacity, for example, well, that's great, but if nobody knows about them and you keep them shoved in a little folder in your little filing cabinet or something, and you've never put those on file anywhere, then it's very difficult for those to be retrieved and for anyone to really know and see that you have that information already in writing that has your wishes on there. So just another thing, you make sure to put some of those important documents on file. Same thing for powers of attorney for financial. You may want to put a financial POA on file with different institutions that you do business with in the event something happens. That way there, it's one less step that you have to do. Every firm is going to have their own policies, so they may require you to fill out one of their own proprietary forms in addition to and in conjunction with the forms that you're sending them that you've had drafted by your estate planning attorney. You just want to make sure that, you know, you don't want to just go blasting documents everywhere, right? You're not going to go to the fucking grocery store and check out and be like, hey, you know, here's a copy of my advanced directives. Like, the cashier doesn't give a shit. It serves no purpose. But if you're going to the doctor, you might want your medical shit on file. If you're doing business with financial firms, you might want your financial shit on file, right? So, I mean, that's a way to think about it. So it's important to get them drafted, but at the same time, you need to have this stuff on file so that if and when certain situations arise and surface, they can be handled appropriately and accordingly. And it's one less thing that somebody else is going to have to do that's trying to step in and help you out, right? So just something to think about. But that's what I wanted to do as far as the Get Your Money Right segment, was to round it out with this estate planning preparation segment here. There's, like I mentioned before, some other things that will come into play, right? We didn't talk about things like entity structuring. We didn't talk about things like long-term care and chronic illness types of insurances and stuff like that. But I think the topic areas that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, coupled with today's show, is a really good springboard to start you off with things that you need to know slash do to get your money right and start it off here in 2024. And again, if anyone's missed these episodes, they can come back in the span of basically one quarter with one per week. They can pretty quickly get up to speed and get their money right. So I wanted to kind of cut it somewhere, and I feel like this is a pretty good place to do that. So with that said, that's going to be all for today's Get Your Money Right segment on estate planning preparation. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to email the show, realtalkpersonalfinance@gmail.com. If you would like us to do the financial blooper segment, open to feedback on that. And I think that's all we got this week. So we will see you in the next episode.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.